F4, number 16B.
The story goes on in chapter 7. It was at the time of the Feast of the Tabernacle in Jerusalem, and it was usually an occasion to go up to Jerusalem at that time, and so the brethren of Jesus were urging him to go up to Jerusalem and to do the works in Jerusalem in front of all the people. You see, a mass exhibition of his Christ power, and so they tried to push him, and Jesus said, no, my time is not yet come. He always knew when it was too early. You know, there is nothing more wonderful than to have the right idea at the right time. Very often we have a right idea, but the time is not ripe, and then it doesn't really work. So he was a master in this respect, because he would say from time to time, no, my time is not ripe. This is not the time to do it. Just as he did in the marriage in Cana, that he said to the mother, the time has not come. So also here he said, no, my time is not come. But still he went up, in spite of what he said. But he went up secretly, it is said. He went secretly up to Jerusalem, and the Jews were seeking him and said, he's certainly coming up, because he was quite a popular figure now. Everybody was talking about him. Everybody knew some nice story about Jesus. And so everybody was wondering, how does Jesus look like? What the kind of a man is he, you see? Sometimes students that read my book think, I wonder how Max is looking like, if he's an old man, or if he has a white beard, or if he's short, or if he has a big tummy, or things like that, you know. Man figures out, what is that guy, huh? So they were also seeking around, and were seeking out Jesus, and said, I wonder, is he coming up? We wonder what he's doing, and will he show us some wonders, and so on. So that's quite natural. 14. Now about the midst of the feast. You will see that in these stories, that term midst will come up time and time again. And it always means the midst of the candlestick. It always means principle. See, it's always in the midst. So in the candlestick, the midst is principle. So about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. So we have again the symbol of temple, the symbol of teaching, and so he taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knowest this man letters? How on earth does he know letters? Because having never learned, he was never trained in the Talmudical writings of the Jews. He didn't go through a school like perhaps the Pharisees or the scribes or anything like that. The hierarchical structure of the priesthood, all that was foreign to him. He just was a man on the street. We do not know exactly what happened between when he was 12 and 30, so it's difficult to say what he has been doing in that time. But they knew that he was not a learned man. So they said, more or less, they said, what should we believe into him, because he's not even learned? What can he teach us? So Jesus answered and said, oh, my doctrine is not mine. I didn't have to learn it. I didn't have to be educated in it. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So this is the verse that Mrs. Eddy uses also in the 6th chapter in order to introduce her and say what she is teaching is really not her teaching, but is his that sent me. It is the teaching of principle. And that is naturally always the highest teaching, if we can teach out from principle. So he goes on, 17, if any man will do his will, his God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. That's an interesting answer, he said. If you want to know if this doctrine that I talk is actually from God, or if I only say it's from God, and it isn't from God, it's from me. You can never know. You see, I can tell you anything, but how can you believe? So he says, you will believe it when you try it out. Go and try it out. He shall know the doctrine, if any man will do his will. You see, if any man will go out from the Father and see that the Father has a Christ and that we are one with that Christ and therefore one with the Father, so that we hear the Father speaking, then when each one does that, he knows from where he has his message. He knows it. I don't have to convince him with words and say, well, you should believe me. After all, I don't tell lies to you. You are my friend. I tell you no lies, you see. So just believe me. He said, well, that's no use. You have to go and try it out yourself. Then you know if that what I teach you is from God or if it is from me. A very clever answer. Then the text goes on over many verses that there were then a discourse among the people, and they felt, well, that it would be the best thing, really, to kill him. The priests didn't like it, the rulers didn't like it. Or do the rulers know that this is the very Christ? They were not even quite sure, because the high priest didn't intervene. They let things go their way, so they were not quite sure if actually the high priest and the priest were accepting the Christ or not. So it was a great incertitude about this teaching. And so I come to 28. Jesus said, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. He goes again back and says, look here, all what you have to know in this discussion is that you know that I come from my Father. Ye both know me and know from whence I came. He that sent me, the Father, he that sent me is true. The God is true, whom ye know not, said, but you don't know him. But I know him. See, he was so sure of his understanding of God. I know him. He always said the world does not know God. The ox knows his master's crib, but people don't know their God. Huh? Isaiah would say. So here he brings up that same thing. But I know him, and he has sent me. He always stresses that very thing. John fought for central point, that he wants to show this time the Christ is really the Christ. He's not one of those Christs that have come up during the preceding century, where here and there somebody was popping up and say, I'm the Christ, I'm going to free you from the Roman yoke, I free you. So he said, this is the sign that I'm the Christ, because the Father has sent me. And so many believed on him. Then 33. But Jesus said, yet a little while. It's very, very nice. Yet a little while am I with you. And then I go unto him that sent me. That sent me. He said, I'm only staying only on with you for a little while. You see, that may have been perhaps from the Thanksgiving day to the Passover, where perhaps 5 or so months, I'm not quite sure, but that's about the time. So a little while I will stay with you. And then I go unto him that sent me. He that believeth on me, out of his belly, in the Greek it means matrix. It uses that term matrix. Out of his matrix shall flow rivers of living water. If one can see that clearly, one can see that teaching. He said, I go away. Or let's first say, he knew that he came from the Father. And he knew that he was teaching what the Father told him to teach. So he was saying, I teach the right teaching, because I got it from my Father, I listened to the Father, and the Father taught it to me, and I give it to you. But what are you doing? Well, where are you getting the teaching from when I'm no more here? In a short time, I leave you. Are you then let alone without any teacher? And he wanted to prepare them for that time when he was no more with them. So he gave here already for the first time a hint what should happen. A little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Later on he will say, and I will come again, but not yet. He said, then I will, and you will be alone. And so he gives them, you see, an advice what to do, that they have a teacher that is not personal, that is not Jesus the teacher. Namely, he said, he that believes on me, on the Christ, out of his matrix shall flow rivers of living waters. Now, from where have we got the development of the teaching of the pure science of Christian Science? John Dolly didn't have a personal teacher who taught it. Yes? And since John Dolly left us, we are not repeating and repeating and repeating just his word. We went on, and there were living waters flowing out, of which John Dolly didn't know yet anything. So from where did we get it? Out of the matrix. Out of the matrix. See, that shall flow rivers of living waters. That's terrific, because right at the beginning you will remember of that second part of the Christ, right at the beginning when he met the woman of Samaria, he said to the woman, give me water, and she said, why do you ask water? And so Jesus said, well, if you had asked me to give water, I would have given you living waters. But he left it at that. He didn't explain how that living water, what that living water was, and where he would get it, out of which well he would get it. Now, at the end of the Christ part, of the second part, we are now right at the end, he lets the cat out of the sack, out of the bag, and says, I tell you, you can get it from your matrix. If you have seen what I have been teaching you, all over what is the calculus of being, in the part A, he showed what the calculus of being is, and in part B he showed the universality of that Christ idea as a calculus, then he can say, if you understand this, if you believe in that, if you understand now this calculus, this matrix, and it was a matrix that we have been considering. Do you know what I mean? That the part A was the 4x4, which is a matrix. If you understand that matrix, then out of that matrix will flow eternal living waters. We can draw from it and draw from it without end. That's what we do. Right from the beginning, John Dolly began to sense something about the matrix and gave a very gentle, simple matrix. But after he had left, we began to see that the matrix is that which is fundamental to the teaching, and we saw the whole textbook as a matrix. We saw the matrix of the prophets, the Christ matrix. We saw the matrix of Christianity in the epistles. We saw matrices all over the place. So that we can see, once we touch the structural reasoning and come out of the linear reasoning of the days of creation into the structural reasoning, there is no end of restructuring the structure. Then flows living waters out of the matrix. That's why we have you see, it's now 40 years since John Dolly left us, and we were actually constantly going forward. We were not left alone. He said, I go away. And he wanted to go away. And he said, the situation looks better if I'm no more here. He left us with a matrix sense. He left us with the categories. Yeah? Out of that teaching, we could, year by year, flow something out of that matrix, which was always new waters, living waters, new waters, living waters, flowing, flowing, flowing. It never stopped. Yes? That's what John already saw. So, 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, not of matter. He goes right back again that you have to eat the flesh and blood, drink the blood. So, but this he spake of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive. They should receive the Spirit if they draw from the matrix. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Only at the end of the Gospel we see that he gives them the Holy Ghost. But he already prepares thought of the students, said, look here, when you begin to think in matrices, which is nothing else than when you begin to think in categories of being, and show how these categories of being combine with each other, how they blend with each other, how they are related to each other, you get the system restructured endlessly and endlessly. Then this is the living water. This is the Spirit that moves you. So we get away from the letter more and more and more, and the Spirit takes over and over and over. And they should receive then the Holy Ghost. So many of the people said, of a truth, this is the prophet. And as I said, this is the Christ. And as I said, no, he isn't. They were not sure about it. There were a great discussion among them. Is he really the Christ? And they said, it can't be the Christ, because the Old Testament was prophesying that the Christ should come from Bethlehem and not from Galilee. Jesus came from Galilee. But they didn't know that actually he came from Bethlehem, because their parents were originally from Bethlehem. So they immigrated at one time and went to Galilee. Perhaps they found there a better farm or a better job, or I don't know what. But fundamentally, you remain a Bethlehemite. And when the censor was counting the people, they had to go back to their place, their native tribe, to Bethlehem. So he actually was from Bethlehem. But people said, they didn't know that. So they said, he's from Galilee, he can't be the prophet. See? Just as I heard it, I must say, very often in the earlier time, he is from Switzerland, he can't be anything good, you know. Switzerland, they said, is a little country, you know, and it has only mountains, and they see only mountains, they don't have a vision. That's what happened. Huh? So they had the same argument at one time against me. Just one of the many. Yes. So, he should come from Bethlehem, not from Galilee. And then, you see, they didn't yet see that he came neither from Bethlehem, nor did he come from Galilee. He came from the Father. He came from the Infinite One in Christian Science. So, 53, after all that discussion, it ends up with a very good statement. And every man went into his own house. Everyone, after discussing and arguing to and fro, everyone said, oh golly, I go back to my own house, I go back to my own consciousness, to my old beliefs. There I'm at rest, there I don't have to discuss, there I don't have to struggle and to argue with other people. Everyone went to his own house, whereas we will see that in his Father's house, there is only one house, his Father's house. Now, that's the principle. So everyone went back to his own belief. So that ends that great part two. Yeah. Well, that would be part two, truth and spirit. And we have another 10 minutes. So, let's see if we can somehow in a leisurely way, without being too exact by wording things, recapitulate what really the second part wanted to show to us. Fundamentally, that second part wants to show science as the Christ science. That's the candlestick, truth and spirit. Showing that the truth works in a spiritual way, that the truth reflects itself in infinite truth, and so brings about the truth about everything. But that is stating it a bit in too short a way, And so John felt that he wanted to give a good overall picture of how that Christ idea works. And you can see it from the point of view of truth in Absolute Christian Science, that truth which says, I'm going to manifest that Christ truth, that divine infinite calculus in all its fundamental details. And so he gives a whole matrix of 4x4 to explain only one thing, how the divine infinite calculus works. Yes. What did he show? If we take first only the big categories, what I usually call the vertical categories, those four, we have seen in part A that he shows first as the word that we have to get out of the word and wed it to the Christ. So that without the word will be nothing. So the very first thing is that he says you have to culture yourself so that you combine and wed the word with the Christ. Only when you are wedded with, when the word is wedded to the Christ, you have point two, the Christ. And then only then the Christ translates itself. And so we had all the translation of the Christ, how it translated itself right down to the human. When it has translated it down to the human, just think logically, and has overturned and overturned what is not right, and so only that which is right has been established, and everything is at the point of being right. So you have a Christianity where God and man and the universe are coinciding. That is, we saw there the coincidence of God and man. And the moment you had that coincidence of God and man, he gives the fourth vertical science and says, and Jesus gave the proof that he was the Christ. Not only John the Baptist said so, but my works say so too, and my Father has sent me, he stands behind me, and the Scriptures has said it, and I have fulfilled the Scriptures. So I have the evidence, the witness that I am the Christ. That's the first part, just the verticals. If we take, I don't know if we have time, if we take those verticals again, we can take in the subtones in it, and we see in the first that he says, you must wed the word to the Christ. How can you do it? He told Nicodemus to have a new birth, the birth of spirit, that you are newborn, that you must be born from above. When that happens, then the Christ comes down and you have the descending and ascending sense, the two translations. That no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Even the Son of Man who is in heaven, and how did he define that man in heaven? That he has eternal life, that he is the Savior of truth, and that his works are done in love. Then he goes further and shows in that vertical that the word alone is a danger. That you are staying with the word like John the Baptist, he must increase. But if you wed it to the Christ, then you have the increase. And so you have the Christianity sense that everything becomes better and improves, etc., and you have an increase. And that finally, at the point of science in it, with the symbol of the Samaritan woman, that he was able, through the seven steps in the word order, to bring the Samaritan thought of the Old Testament out of that Old Testament thought, and little by little to the point in the seventh question to where she said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. Yes. Can you see that these subjects are very natural? They flow just in the rhythm the moment we know the category is well enough. All right. And then we had part B. We have taken today part B from the point of view of the universality of love, of showing first from the point of view of the word, namely through the feeding of the 5,000 and walking on the sea, that the Christ calculus is a spiritual calculus, and therefore in no way limited by matter, by time, by space, by energy. So that Christ as a Christ is asking, can everybody in the universe have that Christ? How can we do the works that you do? And his answer is fundamentally, well, the works that I do is actually very simple. Just don't look to the signs of miracles and wonders, but look to the work I do. My work is to eat the bread of truth, to be one with the Christ and one with the Father. That's my work. And I let that Christ work whatever it wants to work and bring up the signs that it wants to bring up. And then from the point of view of Christianity, it has shown us tonight that from that point of Christianity, he is showing that we cannot have that Christ consciousness so that it works the works of God if we still entertain a material sense of life. If therefore we have to lay down the material sense of life, or else life eternal cannot demonstrate itself. But how can we know and see how to lay down the personal sense of life? And he says, all right, I'm going to teach you. I teach you, you just have to go out from the Father and to go out from that principle of being, and that principle of being, you can see that it has an infinite idea. You can go along the line of deduction right from the principle, right down through all the categories of being, right down, filtering it down right to every situation. Then you have found principle. And then you don't want to go home again to your own house. Okay? Tomorrow?